Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots to the Voice of the American Redoubt on this Independence Day weekend. We almost didn't do a show. We had a patriot recently got married and we're excited. And so we wanted to, we were invited to go celebrate. And we're like, oh man, should we upload the show in the morning? But then you know what's going to happen. Chaos is going to break loose on Monday like it always does, because it used to be my day that I was supposed to take off. So I have a day off. And it's just like the floodgates open on Mondays. So anyway, you know what? Instead of adding another thing on our plate, let's just go ahead and do it. So here we are. We're going to do it. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting from the Free Zones. Oh, as free as you can get, and relatively speaking, much more free than many other parts of the country. It was very exciting to see the aerial footage of the California citizens complying with Governor Nuisance's fireworks bans and firework and Independence Day celebrations. The sky was lit up. I was talking to some, or was texting with some folks from Southern California, saying it looked like smog. I mean, it was the thickest they've ever seen. More fireworks than they've ever seen in decades. It was just really amazing. And, you know, this is what we saw all across even the American Redoubt. People are, they're celebrating Independence Day. It's a huge event, and as much as the leftists are trying to lock people down, they're throwing off the chains. They're just defying this obvious control. The theft of liberty, the theft of our American heritage. This is just an amazing, really an amazing time to be alive. I say that often, but man, every day the headlines are just unreal. It's just, even just to go 1 year ago, say, this is what America's going to look like in 1 year from now. We would have really been stunned. Or we would have thought, oh yeah, well, it's probably just a temporary thing, like, you know, the Occupy movement or something. But this is not temporary. This is not going away. They're in it now. They pressed the go button, and there's no disengaging it. So if we want to keep America, we're going to have to fight for it on every level, because they're fighting to take it from us. Now, are we just going to let them have it, or are we going to fight for it? President Trump did an amazing speech Friday night. Absolutely incredible. The best speech he's done. It was so patriotic. It made me so proud and so thankful. I thanked God. Lady Liberty and I were both thank God this man is the president. I know we've got problems. I know that we're in financial crisis that hasn't even hit yet. There's so many things that are just hanging over our heads, about ready to drop. But can you imagine anyone else being president? Who would have said these things? There's no other person. There's no other president who would have said the things as boldly, except for maybe one of the four men on Mount Rushmore would have spoken as boldly and outspokenly about the importance of preserving our liberty and our heritage and our values as President Trump. I think that there's only four people that I can think of, four Americans that I can think of, who would have spoken out as boldly. And those men were on Mount Rushmore, which means they're dead. The only living person today that's right for that job is President Trump. And I'm so grateful that he's in there. There's no man without fault. We need to look to Christ first, our King. He's the one that reigns on high. He's the one that is faultless. But as far as in the world of government of men, to have a ruler, a man, in that type of a position of authority for the time that we're in, I can think of no one else who has not, who has proven himself to be in that position. So I'm going to play some excerpts from his speech tonight. There's so many that I could pull from it, but I'm very thankful. I thank God. So anyway, let's get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary is brought to you by the husband and wife team, Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher. Glenn is the author of the 299 Days series, which is out in all 10 books, including the audiobooks. And his wife, Shelby Gallagher, the author of the 3-book series, A Great State. Also, all 3 of those are out in audio as well. And you can hear them talk about this stuff, the prepping 2.0, the next level of preparing for the times that we're in, on their podcast, Prepping 2.0. And that's also where you can find out how to get the books, is prepping2-0.com. And we've been corresponding back and forth with Glenn over the last couple of days, and they've invited Lady Liberty and I to come on to their Prepping 2.0 podcast. We'll let you know when that happens. And because they want to talk, they really key in on the segment 4 from Radio Free Redoubt from last week. We were talking about loving your enemies by calling them to repentance, and but also being prepared to defend your liberty. I mean, to defend your country, to defend yourself, to defend your heritage, and even physically, if it comes to that, if you're forced to that. And so it's the balance between, you know, loving your enemies and also standing ready to stand like David did against Goliath, or did the Israelites did, you know, how many times against their enemies. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about that. Looking forward to that. That's going to be, I think that's going to be a great conversation. And we'll have Lady Liberty on tonight, of course, for segment 4, which is her new code name segment 4, will be joining us. And we've got some things we want to talk about that really kind of struck us from listening to President Trump's speech, especially the story about George Washington and Valley Forge and the sacrifices that people made for us to have this country. It's maddening to see it squandered and people burning the American flag, saying F America and F the American flag on American soil. And these people have driver's licenses that basically say that they're Americans. I mean, you would think that they were Americans, but they're not. From the bottom down street level thug, knuckle dragging brown shirt, all the way up to the elite globalists who are pulling their puppet strings, these people are not Americans, no matter what their driver's license or their passport says. Hey, weather app. I got a little weather app alert. It says tonight the moon will be glowing just below Jupiter and Saturn at 10 p.m. Check to see if your forecast calls for clear skies. Kind of neat. I think we'll go run out there and take a look. I don't know what that would look like, but it looked like a full moon last night, so might be pretty amazing. I thought I'd throw that in there. Jupiter and Saturn and the moon, all right there glowing together at 10 p.m. So we'll check that out. And if you're listening to the downloaded podcast later on in the week, well, sorry, you missed it. Okay, newstarget.com, they've got an article, not a hoax. I saw this on Tuesday. I put it in my notes. I wanted to talk about it. Chinese Communist Party warns Christians to renounce Jesus or starve to death. Their Bitter Winter, it's an online magazine. It covers religion and human rights in China, which I'm sure they've got plenty of job security there. Has reported that the CCP, the Communist Chinese Party, is now threatening to take away the last means of survival from elderly believers, which are the government benefits of housing, food, clothing, medical care, funeral expenses, things like that. So basically they're telling them you have to renounce your faith in Christ and declare the state as the supreme being Otherwise, you risk losing your benefits. And that's the Chinese that we're doing business with. That's the Chinese that's planning on colonizing Australia, Canada, and the United States, but not in that necessarily in that order. The United States is at the very top of that list. At the end of 2019, local government officials threatened the woman, one of the multiple examples listed in this article. She's in her 60s. They threatened her that the subsidy would be withdrawn unless she removes images of Jesus from her home. She said, because the Communist Party feeds you, they told the woman, you must only believe in it, not God. 2 months later, the pension was canceled because she refused to remove the symbols. City officials began to return inspections to ensure that Christian religious imagery had been that had been ordered removed or covered remained that way. There's men, there's women, there's several examples given all through here right now. And let me tell you guys something. There is a communist revolution taking place in America right now. They are targeting our symbols of our national heritage and our history. They're rewriting history. They're trying to erase our history and our heritage. And already, as I predicted, they're already calling for this. Jesus is a symbol of white. It's a white religion. It's a white people. Oh, the Jesus that depicts imagery that depicts Jesus as white needs to be wiped out. And others are saying, no. Christianity is a white religion. We need to get rid of it. It's starting, my friends, my fellow patriots. It's beginning. The persecution of Christians is, we're at the threshold of that now. They'll use race, they'll use injustice, they'll use slavery, they'll use whatever it is, injustice, social, environmental injustice, all the other excuses. But really, this is a war against God and his followers. And I've been saying that over and over. That's what this is coming down to. It's not just the communist Chinese, although they're planning on coming. They're carrying out, they're implementing plans that will eventually lead to them being on our shores. But we know what their attitude is, but we don't have to wait for them to be faced with the communist anti-Christian ideology, because we already have it on our own front doorstep. On our streets, in our homes, in our city councils, in our mayor's offices, in our governor's offices. And I've said we need to get rid of our mayors. We need to get rid of almost all of the governors, all of the city councils. We need to go after them. We need to completely flip it all upside down and replace them. They are all leftists. They are all marching to the communist drums. And they're marching us right off a cliff. Bill Gates' global nightmare is coming true with a COVID pass, immunity passport. Called this one. I called this one in February. I mean, and here it is. This just came out Tuesday. One of the latest steps toward that end in the so-called COVID pass immunity passport, a smartphone app that will determine who gets to eat out at restaurants and go to the gym versus who still has to get tested for the Wuhan coronavirus or COVID-19, what we call COVID-1984. This is what this is. Big Brother, Orwellian COVID-1984. And get vaccinated. The mass tracking app presents a stop or go passport that businesses will soon be able to use as a type of checkpoint system to determine who is allowed to enter and who will have to be refused. This is a beautiful way to usher in this technology, make it global, and then right behind that, the mark of the beast, where you won't be able to do business transactions, will not be able to conduct business without this. It'll begin with, you know, being just restaurants and gyms, things that will be a major inconvenience, but we could still get away with. They'll still call grocery shopping essential, so you still be able to go to a grocery store. They're going to ease this stuff in for a while, and then they're just going to go for broke. So the COVID pass will say restricted until you comply. It'll give a green light to proceed. If you do not, then your COVID pass will say restricted. So some 15 countries are already said to be adopting this mark of the beast type system for getting back to normal, quote unquote. or what they're calling the new normal, which we don't accept. This is not normal. It might be new, but this is not normal, and we don't accept it as normal. This is endorsed by Bill Gates and other globalist eugenicists. CovidPass is every authoritarian's dream come true and is coming to a country near you. Included in these 15 countries that have already agreed to participate in the CovidPass program are the United Kingdom, where it originated, along with Italy, Portugal, France, India, Canada, Sweden, Spain, South Africa, Mexico, the Netherlands, the United Arab Emirates. Darn, I was just going to go there. And, of course, the United States. You know, we were going to plan a trip. I've been overseas in years, decades. And we were going to plan this trip. I'm trying to decide, do we want to go to Israel? Love to go to Israel. I've never been to Israel. Or go to Scotland, which is where my family's from, who came here to the United States way after slavery was already done. And on my other side, they came here from Norway way after slavery was already gotten rid of. United States didn't found slavery. Slavery, we were a British colony, and the British implemented slavery. We broke free from tyranny, step one. Step two, we freed the slaves. There were some people making a lot of money off of slaves. They didn't want to give that up. It led to a war. That and states' rights and other things involved as well. But guess what? We got rid of it. Not good enough. You need to get down and lick our boots because my great-great-great-grandfather was a slave, and your great-great-great-grandfather in Scotland, oh, he was also a slave to the Norwegians. I'm not sure what to do with that. It's, like I said before, the Norwegians came over and took a bunch of Scots, were constantly taking the Scots slaves. I want reparations for myself, from myself. Part of my ancestors took my other ancestors as slaves. I'm not sure what to deal, how to deal with that. I guess, get over it. Just move along and pursue the American dream. All right. The NFAC. NFAC's leaders, the Grand Master Jay, calls himself, describing how he will build his black ethno state inside the United States, boasting that they're all ex-military, extremely disciplined, and expert shooters. And so they put on a they basically went to was it Stone Mountain, a Civil War memorial. And I was getting these texts saying, there's, you know, these black armed militants are, you know, they're calling for war, calling for violence, calling out the militia, saying they're going to form their own state. They want Texas, I guess. Very interesting. So take a listen to this guy, Jay, Grandmaster Jay from the NFAC.
The whole nine yards, and then become the backbone for. Become the backbone for the military for a new black nation.
What is the solution to all of this? And that's the last
question. Solution is very simple. We follow a declaration of liberation, declaring every African-American descendant of slavery a political prisoner here in the United States, and that was affected by the Portuguese slave trade. And then after that, the United States has a choice. Either A, carve us a piece of land out here, we'll take Texas, and let us do our own thing, or don't stop us when we exit this out of here and go somewhere where they will give us our own land to build our own nation.
What is your name and what is the...
I'm the official Grandmaster Jay. I created the NFAC.
All right. And how long have the organization been in existence?
We don't give that information out. Just how we'll tell you this. We're all ex-military. We're all very disciplined. We're all expert shooters. We don't want to talk no more. We don't want to negotiate. We don't want to sing songs. We don't bring signs to a gunfight. We're an eye for an eye organization. So when they decide to act right, we'll decide to act right. And we do it all legally.
Wow, interesting. Okay, so they're going to take Texas. Eye for an eye. We're not going to bring signs. This is a peaceful protest, right? Exercising their First Amendment rights. These guys are all armed to the teeth with AR-15s and AK-47s and other type of combat rifles, which I'm all for. But it's to preserve liberty and our country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So these are domestic enemies, clearly, and they're calling for violence. They're calling for, they're calling out the militias, the 3%, specifically called out whites. They're saying we're not going to bring Assange to a gunfight. So they're not talking anymore. They don't want to negotiate anymore. So there's nothing left but to fight. And they came armed. I saw these headlines with, you know, 100 armed black people, militia shows up at Iron Mountain, Stone Mountain, and making demands and so on. So I looked, and it's what, and then another one said 1,000. Now, I don't know if it was, it was definitely more than 100. I don't know if it was 1,000, at least 500, but I would say at least a battalion size element, all armed, all wearing black, and chanting, shouting that they're looking for a fight. As a matter of fact, this is what he said with his bullhorn during this speech. Take a listen.
I don't see no white militia. So to the Boogie Boys, the 3%ers, and all the rest of you scared-ass rednecks, we here. Where the f*** you at? We in your house. Let's go. NFAC, motherfucker.
That's just a small sampling of what was said in that speech. I just really cut it down, and these, you know, it's all over the internet now. NFAC. So at allhiphop.com, they talk about this. What's the NFAC? The NFAC is the acronym for this organization that they've started, and they've got a it is a very sizable turnout, but it's Not Effing Around Coalition. Is what they're calling themselves, the NFAC, Not Effing Around Coalition. I don't think it's a Christian organization, but it's time to stress self-defense for black people, according to Grandmaster Jay, the leader of the NFAC, continues to lead the charge in the Ahmaud Arbery case. Now, this is at allhiphop.com. The Ahmaud Arbery has subsided from the headlines as George Floyd has provided a spark that has caused uprisings all over the world. But the wheels of justice or injustice continue to move even in the midst of a pandemic. Grandmaster Jay forges ahead despite the global insurrection against injustice. Do you guys know there was a global insurrection against justice, against injustice going on? It was really strange, but I did not know that. But according to allhiphop.com, there is a global insurrection against injustice. He has been a hip-hop artist, activist, military veteran, and one-time presidential candidate. I didn't even know. But now he's pushing another narrative, self-defense, he calls it. That's not self-defense. These guys show up. That's an offensive move. This is what is known as a belligerent force in the laws of land warfare vernacular. These guys are armed militants who are making demands and wish to carve out a portion of an existing country to create chaos, create autonomy for themselves, and establish their own country based on race. Specifically, black ethno state. I say let them have Mexico. Where could we? I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, I have my own thoughts on this. But this is just unreal. And but see, remember, this is one slice, one sliver in a multifaceted fourth generation warfare where all components are going to be used, from the media to the academia to militant groups, communist backed groups funded by globalists. I mean, this is huge. Not this particular group right here, but it's just one component of something much larger. So We're going to continue to watch this. I'm sure more is going to come out now that he got his 15 minutes of fame, which is enough to really, you know, get them all excited and charged up and ready to do their next thing. But they definitely have made it very clear they plan to escalate. And they're saying, we're in your backyard. What are you going to do about it? We're here. We're armed. And we're not bringing signs to a gunfight. We're done talking and we're done negotiating. FBI, stop looking at the Patriots. Start looking at the Marxist revolutionaries that are making threats in our own streets. Clean out your own house, FBI. Clean your own house and go after these domestic terrorists. That's what these guys are. They're insurgents. In the Free Beacon, Massachusetts Attorney General Mara Healey, Democrat, on Tuesday, refused to denounce the violent riots occurring nationwide, likening them to the purifying effects of a forest fire. Once again, this is an attorney general, Democrat, in Massachusetts, which is where our nation was founded. Massachusetts. I mean, this is where Paul Revere rode. This is where the fight for America began. This is where the founding fathers met at the Green Dragon and planned their fight against true tyranny. But she says, quote, yes, America is burning, but that's how forests grow, Healey said in a speech delivered to the Boston Chamber of Commerce. Healey, who is also the co-chair of the Democratic Attorneys General Association, repeated her remarks in a tweet later the same day, adding that Americans need to seize the opportunity, quote unquote, to rid the country of institutionalized racism, which she blamed for the violence. Well, like I said, communists have always lied. They're lying now, and they always will lie. This is a communist. This is a communist Marxist who is in a position of power as an attorney general, and FBI, you need to go after her. That's a violation of the law right there. So, Redoubt News, there's a man jailed for contracting COVID-19, 84. Sherry Duvalli, this is what I talked about this yesterday. Sherry Duvalli wrote this over at Redoubt News. The insanity of the state of Washington continues as King Governor Jay Inslee cracks down on dissidents that refuse to bow down and obey him. We have a new phrase. The Inslees are coming. The Inslees are coming. That'll be the new slogan. Earlier this week, Inslee commanded businesses not to serve customers that are not wearing their slavery veils over their faces, which actually looks like somebody's wearing a men's bikini bottom over their mouth. But anyway, he's allowing citizens to be incarcerated for not groveling before him. A man in Spokane has been forcibly transferred to the county jail for not voluntarily following the edicts of King Inslee. He's expected to remain in custody through July 11th. The details are sketchy at best, as the Spokane Regional Health District has not released enough details to fully understand the situation. All they're concerned with is that he tested positive. Did he test positive for the antibodies from a prior infection? Is he symptomatic? These are valid questions that should be answered. And this is coming from Redoubt News, and these are valid questions. The Marxist rulers in this country are yelling about the new surge of positive cases of this Wuhan flu, yet they do not want to tell you that they have only just recently begun active testing on a scale they didn't have before. Of course, this will show an increase of cases. But they post here something that I'm seeing a lot of on social media. And that's people that are posting questions about their own personal experiences. And here's one that they shared. And this is somebody posting on Facebook. They said, my brother was recently contacted by a tracer because his girlfriend's brother-in-law, who had no symptoms, went to a testing site and apparently tested positive. They traced everyone he was near, which included my brother. My brother then got a phone call telling him he was exposed and also told him that they now have to document him as having COVID, though he has no symptoms, because he hasn't been tested. So they're documenting him as having COVID because he hasn't been tested to prove otherwise. And now it's a great mystery that we're seeing all these COVID numbers skyrocketing. It's BS. They apparently did this to around 20 associated friends. So because one guy was curious and tested positive, 21 new cases were added to the numbers. Now imagine that extrapolated across the country. People need to wake up and realize they're being played hardcore, big time, right now. It's absolutely insane. And that's the kind of stuff that is infuriating us. This is the kind of stuff that makes us want to scream at somebody who's wearing one of these slavery masks at the store with their whole family of young, healthy people. Well, additionally, The Atlantic has reported that the government's disease fighting agency, CDC, is conflating viral and antibody tests, meaning that their testing is not accurate. The agency confirmed that it is mixing the results of viral and antibody tests, even though the two tests reveal different information and are used for different reasons. Now, you can read the rest of that article over there. There's a lot more to this at Readout News. I want to quickly share with you Idaho Freedom Foundation. There's some new laws in Idaho. In 2020, legislators wrote a bunch of laws that went into effect today, July 1st. Some good, more freedom. Some bad, which means more government control. And this is from the Idaho Freedom Foundation. It's that I got in an email. It is now illegal to look at your phone while driving a car, even when stopped at traffic lights or stop signs. You can glance at a GPS map or activate a one-touch phone call. Police can pull you over and fine you for looking at movement on the screen. They got the full law there. So I guess you can glance, but you can't look. So this is going to be interesting. I was just glancing, officer. Any citizen now, here's some good news. 18 or over, now including non-state residents. Any citizen 18 or over can carry a concealed handgun within city limits without needing a license as long as gun rights have not been restricted. That's good. It used to be that inside of a city limits, you had to have a CCW to be able to carry in a city. And then, of course, it was just only for state residents. Now they just expanded that. So even if you're not a resident of Idaho. License plates are now valid for 10 years instead of 7. Large Idaho cities like Boise, possibly Meridian and Nampa, will now have to set districts for city council elections. Thus, residents will get to vote for councilors who better represent them. That's a good thing. Your property tax assessment will now include more transparent information on how your tax bill changes year by year and when the bonds and levies you pay for will expire. That's good. And anyway, there you go. That was from Janae Wilkerson, Idaho Freedom Foundation. All right, I don't have anything from Rhino Pack this week, but we'll be checking for more of that. But we'll take a break here and come back with segment two. This is kind of a long segment with the news and commentary, but there's just a lot going on. All right, this is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
The preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the republican model of government are justly considered as deeply, perhaps as finally, stalked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
We're back with segment two of Radio Free Redoubt. Segment two. Brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots get strategically relocated deeper into the free zones in the American Redoubt. If you're looking at the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, that's what they specialize in, and that's the area that they serve. So check them out, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Micah 2:1-2. Woe to those who scheme iniquity, who work out evil on their beds. When morning comes, they do it, for it is in the power of their hands. They covet fields and then seize them, and houses and take them away. They rob man and his house, a man and his inheritance. And these guys want to just take a whole chunk of a state. They're saying, look, don't tell me. This is what this militant guy, the NFAC guy, says. I don't want to hear that you never owned a slave. He said, I've never been a slave, but you're driving in my car. That's what he said. They're coveting. We want the state of Texas. They're coveting. And they're so insane, they're saying, and we will do this legally. That's what he said. We're going to do this legally. We're going to break the law legally. Oh, man. So that's the world. This is this demonic, dark influence over the minds and the hearts and the souls of people that are calling up, down, down, up, good, evil. Light is dark. Dark is light. It's just really remarkable. Washington State Mayor now calls BLM protests domestic terrorism. What? A mayor is calling BLM protests domestic terrorism? And this is a Democrat, that leftist, Marxist, globalist mayor, like almost all the mayors are. Got to get rid of them. Get rid of the mayors. Get rid of the city councils. That's where we need to strike. I mean, in November, get out there and get everybody you know to make a difference and get to purge these city councils, these mayors. Unreal. But listen to this. Mayor Cheryl Selby of Olympia, the capital of Washington State, refers to the protests as domestic terrorism, according to the Olympian. Now, she was all for the Black Lives Matter protests. And defunding the police, and just I sympathize with your message. I embrace it. So now she's saying, I'm really trying to process this, she told the newspaper. The rioters' Friday night spree left her own front door and porch covered with spray-painted messages. She says, it's like domestic terrorism. It's unfair. This is a leftist Marxist mayor who embraces the BLM, peaceful protests, which aren't. She says, it's like domestic terrorism. It's unfair. Well, guess what? You and the mayor of Seattle just got a little dose of the monster that you created, which we're going to talk about in this segment. She said, we're a predominantly white community next to communities that are far more diverse. That tells us that we have not been as welcoming and nurturing to communities of color as we'd like to think, right? The light switched on in America by Mr. Floyd's murder shines glaringly on Olympia as well. So there's another case in this along these lines. This is from Fox News, where these guys are starting to get a taste of this thing that they were trying to embrace is now turning around to bite them. Another BLM supporter, which is an ESPN writer, Chris Martin Palmer, who commented, burn it all down, quote unquote, when he retweeted a photo of a Minneapolis building in flames in late May. He had a different reaction when rioters came close to his house, the Sporting News reported. Now, this is an ESPN writer who retweeted, burn it all down, with a picture of Minneapolis. And so now the Sporting News reported that he wrote, get these animals TF the F out of my neighborhood. Go back to where you live, is what he wrote. So these guys don't like it when these thugs show up on their own doorsteps. But as long as they're burning somebody else's property or somebody else's home, then they're fine with it. These people are calling for the murder of people because of the color of their skin or burning down their homes. They're in the name of justice, but it's not justice at all. It is anarchy. It is disorder, and it is chaos. And you guys, you're sitting there patting them on the head, telling them how much you understand them until they come to your doorstep. Well, in the blaze, here's another one. Seattle Mayor Durkin. Now, she is a left-wing, way out there, off the rails mayor. She defended Chaz, or CHOP, the Capitol Hill Occupy protest, autonomy zone. Well, she defended CHOP, and now she's outraged after protesters showed up at her home. She said the protests put her family and kids at risk. Protesters targeted her home after Durkin announced last week that the city would no longer support the Capitol Hill organized protest encampment and would seek to remove the concrete barriers that helped define the autonomous zone. But CHOP remains intact. Durkin released a statement expressing her anger at the protest. She was especially upset that the city council member Kashama Sawant had joined the protesters at her home. These guys have created this monster that's now eating them, and they're angry. Mayor Durkin and her family are at the state program to keep their address confidential because of the death threats mostly related to her work as Seattle's U.S. attorney. She was a Seattle U.S. attorney, leftist, under President 44, the president who shall not be named. Instead of working to make true change, Councilmember Sawant continues to choose political stunts, read the statement from the mayor's office. Tonight she did so without regard for the safety of the mayor and her family. The mayor was not even home. She was working at City Hall, working hard for you. Seattle can and should peacefully demonstrate, but not put families and children at risk. Although what she embraced put people at risk, including all of the rapes, murders, and theft and extortion that took place inside the confines of CHOP, where police couldn't go, where business owners were being extorted for security money, right? And they did nothing. So you're talking about the safety and security of your own family. To heck with other people's property, businesses, and families. Now, this is someone who's also a strong Marxist, leftist, has embraced this insurrection and railed against the use of the National Guard or the military for displacing these communist revolutionaries, defending them. But see, she was a U.S. attorney, She is an elitist. She lives in a mansion. She is very well off. She embraces communism because she sees herself at the top of the food chain. The rest of you are fodder. The brown shirts that are creating the chaos to usher in this new Marxist system, this brave new world that they are going to be in charge of. And when they're done using you, you're expendable, and they're going to do away with you. And what is in your future, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and the other, what Lenin called useful idiots, those who help implement the plan but won't benefit from it. You're going to be placed in chains right along with everyone else, but you're being used right now. And so I'm going to talk about what you have in store for your future. I'm going to talk about the Night of the Long Knives when we come back. Little history lesson. You guys are into wiping out history. Here's a little piece of history you might not want to wipe out because it's a lesson that you want to learn because it's going to apply to you at some point. We'll talk about that right after the break. Stay right there. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message.
In the schools, textbooks are rewritten to tell the communist version of history.
Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have
to change the meaning of words like religion and duty and democracy. The communists set out to brainwash the people.
Do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
14-year-old Polish children learn from textbooks like these. Lenin put it this way. It does not matter if 3/4 of mankind is destroyed. All that counts is that the last quarter is communist. Lenin spoke, communist world domination.
Welcome back to segment 3, Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting from the Free Zones. And segment 3 is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Designs. Strategic Landscape Design. Designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive. They have a great consulting service that's helping folks get the most out of their property, especially if you're a preparedness-minded patriot. You want to incorporate right now, this is very important, security, building security into your property, laying it out properly, strategically, your food production, alternate energy, all of these things. It's just not an area of expertise for a lot of folks. And for these folks at Strategic Landscape Design, that is what they do. So check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com. Whether or not you live in the American Redoubt, they can help you, whether you live here or remotely, they can consult with you. I got several emails and texts today. First of all, I saw an article about, these folks defended their property the old-fashioned way, armed. They were armed, prepared to defend themselves and their property against these BLM, Antifa looters that came into their, it's basically a private access, private road, gated community. And so I saw these pictures of this guy with an AR-15, his wife's holding a pistol. And some folks were asking, is there any way that we can help these folks out? The police don't want to seem to help them. Private security doesn't want to help them. And now they've been targeted by Antifa and BLM, and I wasn't really sure what the whole backstory was, so I've been kind of tracking this story throughout this week. But this is interesting because it follows right in line with what I was talking about, where these elitists, these mayors who embrace and support this communist revolutionary insurgency, insurrection. And they say, oh, you just got to burn stuff down. That's how you build a new forest, right? That's healthy. You got to clear out the old, so yes, America's burning, but hey, that's what's necessary for a healthy forest. What a twisted way of thinking. So there are patriots that are standing their ground. They're taking to arms, and they're standing against these communist revolutionaries. And here's a couple in Missouri who stood their ground with an AR-15 and she with a handgun. But then I started looking further into this. They're personal injury lawyers. Mark and Patricia McCloskey, okay, who pointed a rifle and a pistol at protesters Sunday night in front of their Portland Place mansion, said through their lawyer Monday that they felt threatened by two bad actors who destroyed an iron gate to their private street and lobbed insults at them. So this is what their lawyer says. My clients, as melanin-deficient human beings, in other words, they're white, are completely respectful of the message Black Lives Matter needs to get out, especially to whites, said lawyer Albert Watkins. He said, the McCloskeys acted lawfully out of fear and apprehension, the genesis of which was not race-related. So they're yelling private property as this mob comes by because they're on their way to the mayor's house to do what they've been doing to all these leftist mayors, spray paint, graffiti, protest, which is just scaring the snot out of these mayors who just before they were just gushing over how amazing, how righteous the cause was of BLM, Antifa, or whoever else. Until they're ending up on their front doorstep. So now they have this gated community, this mob, angry, screaming, cussing mob, is headed down the street to the mayor's house. And these people happen to be living on the street where the mob is passing by, and they felt threatened. So they said that they got some words thrown at them. A couple of these guys were armed. I don't know what that means, if they had clubs or if they had firearms or whatever. So they ran inside. They got their firearms. So here he is holding this AR-15, this lawyer, his wife, holding her pistol pointed at the crowd with one hand on her hip, the other finger on her trigger. It was just – these guys are lawyers. I know we got some great lawyers in the audience. But they're personal injury lawyers. And they are respectful of the message of Black Lives Matter. They think it's important that their message gets out, especially to whites, they say. That right there sent up red flags. Here's a couple of liberals. They're lawyers. They're wealthy. They live in a mansion. And guns are good for them, right? They live in a gated community. They come out with their own firearms. They're angry at this mob that they totally sympathize with their message and that their message needs to get out. But they're yelling at them, private property, go away. And so the police are looking into it. But I want to look a little bit further into these folks. On Monday, Representative Stephen Roberts, a St. Louis Democrat running for state Senate seat, said his campaign won't keep a $250 contribution he received last year from Mark McCloskey, this lawyer who used an AR-15 to defend himself, Democrat. He said he would donate it to Moms Demand Action, which is an anti-gun group. Campaign finance reports says that Mark McCloskey, this lawyer, defended himself against this evil leftist mob, which he totally thinks their message needs to get out, especially to whites. Campaign finance reports say Mark McCloskey has supported other Democratic candidates, including a $3,250 donation to Russ Carnahan in 2016 when the former U.S. representative ran for lieutenant governor. This guy is a Democrat. He's a leftist. He's a Marxist. Donating money to Democrats. If you're a Democrat, you're a Marxist. If you're a Democrat today in America, you are a communist. If you are donating money to Democrat candidates, you are supporting communist Marxist candidates. Plain and simple. So we're not going to feel any sympathy for this monster that these leftist Marxists helped to create when they want people to come and run to their aid and protect them from the mob. And they're frustrated because the police really aren't showing much of an interest in helping these folks out. Now they feel targeted because they pointed their guns at communist revolutionaries, really. That's what they are. So you've got Marxists now trying to defend their property with firearms. Marxists who have donated to Democrats who are trying to disarm you and me, but they have arms to defend themselves when the mob comes to their neighborhood. I don't feel bad for these people. But see, this ties in with the point that I wanted to make. I was talking about these mayors who are sympathetic to the Black Lives Matter, sympathetic to the Marxist drivel talking points. Until the knuckle-dragging thugs, that the minions that they're using to create the chaos, so that these elitists, attorneys and mayors and other Democrat, leftist, Marxists can be in positions of power once this new world system is put in place. And the expendable mobs, and they are expendable to these people, leads me to a history lesson that I want to talk about. It's called the Night of the Long Knives. Now, it was actually it was called Operation Hummingbird. But I want to take you to a couple of resources and share with you and give you the web link where you can go and learn more about this yourself. So first of all, historyplace.com, World War II timeline. So the History Place, World War II in Europe, the Night of the Long Knives. And this is from the website historyplace.com. The 4 million brown-shirted Nazi stormtroopers, the SA, or Sturmabteilung, included many members who actually believed in the socialism of National Socialism and wanted to become a true revolutionary army in place of the regular German army. This would be modern-day Antifa, Black Lives Matter, the militant arm of the Black Lives Matter, your Black Panthers. These are the people that are carrying out the Marxist agenda in the United States. Now, I know there's some slight differences because we're talking about Nazi Socialist. That was the National Socialist Party. That's what Nazi was. The communists were opposed to the Nazis and the fascists. So that's why they got the term anti-fascist. The communists, they wanted to see communism brought in Europe. Hardcore communists like Antifa, who were going up against the Nazis because they wanted to do away with fascism, socialism, and bring in full-blown communism. So today we've got the full-blown communist, Marxist, so-called anti-fascists, but they're really trying to usher in socialism. Socialism and then communism. So the lessons are still worth paying attention to here. So just like today in America, you've got those who believe in socialism. They believe in national socialism. They want to try to usher this in. And the militant arm of them are really communists, even though they call themselves anti-fascists. So to the regular Army High Command and its conservative supporters, this potential stormtrooper army represented a threat to centuries-old German military traditions and the privileges of rank. Adolf Hitler had been promising the generals for years he would restore their former military glory and break the shackles of the Treaty of Versailles, which limited the army to 100,000 men and prevented modernization. For Adolf Hitler, the behavior of the SA was a problem that now threatened his own political survival and the entire future of the Nazi movement. The anti-capitalist, anti-tradition sentiments, often expressed by SA leaders and echoed by the restless masses of stormtroopers, also caused great concern to big industry leaders who had helped put Hitler in power. So we have high-level politicians in the United States, large corporations are helping to put these people into power who are Marxists and globalists, including these corporate leaders of these large corporations in America. They're globalists. They're Marxists. Okay, so to create the chaos, they're fomenting this chaos among Antifa, BLM, and so on, even endorsing them, even playing along and using their talking points in their advertising, these corporate giants that we're seeing. Okay, but these are also helping to fund these high-level politicians like mayors in large cities, representatives, senators, and so on. These people are going, they see themselves as having the power, but they're using the street level thugs, the SA, the brown shirts, to create this chaos, to destabilize the system so they can introduce the system they envision. And at one point, they're going to be a threat to these people, and they're going to snuff you out like an expendable napkin. Hitler had promised them he would put down the trade union movement and Marxists, which he had done. However, now his own stormtroopers, with their talk of a second revolution, hearing sound familiar, were sounding more and more like Marxists themselves. The first revolution having been the Nazi seizure of power in early 1933. SA leader Ernst Röhm, the SA was headed by Ernst Röhm, a battle-scarred, aggressive, highly ambitious street brawler who had been with Hitler from the very beginning. Röhm and the SA had been very instrumental in Hitler's rise to power by violently seizing control of the streets and squashing Hitler's political opponents. Is this sounding familiar to anyone? All right. I want to take you to allthingsinteresting.com, also covering the Night of the Long Knives, when Hitler had hundreds of allies killed to solidify his grip on Germany. This is written by Daniel Rennie, last year, 2019. And this is where they created this false uprising. This 500 are believed to be killed in this German revolt. So they're saying this is a threat to our nation. This is this revolt that's, they're trying to overthrow the government. We had to put them down, right? We had to put this revolt down. That's what's coming for Black Lives Matter and the Antifa and those, the brown shirts. Those are going to be the headlines. This revolt, overthrow the government and everything else, they're going to turn on you. And it's going to happen like in an instant, even though you'll see it coming. Once it happens, it's going to go fast. Hitler fabricated a plot that would justify a massacre, which would become to be known as the Night of the Long Knives, and any and all positions who threatened his power. At the center of this plot was Röhm, who Hitler framed for a revolt. Early in June 1934, Hitler, Heydrich, and Göring compiled a list of those to be executed. This was called the Reich List of Unwanted Persons. Then, instructions for how the executions should take place were distributed in sealed envelopes to Gestapo units throughout Germany. The operation was codenamed Hummingbird. Hitler then ordered all the SA leaders to attend a meeting in the Hanselbauer Hotel in Bad Wiessee. It was obviously a trap. On June 30th, Hitler and a large group of SS men arrived at the Hanselbauer Hotel, where Röhm was waiting. It was about 6 a.m. when Hitler, his pistol in hand, apprehended Röhm in his room and put him under arrest. Röhm's deputy, Edmund Heinz, who was next door, was also ordered to be rounded up, taken outside, and shot. Hitler allowed Röhm the option of suicide, but he refused. He was consequently shot by two SS officers after being held briefly at Stadelheim prison in München or Munich. Timothy Hughes, the newspaper article about the purge, the front page of the Bethlehem Globe on July 2nd of 1934, has this headline: believe 500 are killed in German revolt. Hitler, in relentless executions, kills off leaders in an attempt to suppress the Second Revolution. It was a lie. It was a fabrication. Second Revolution's coming. And so once these guys get themselves into power, then they're going to say, well, Antifa is trying a second revolution, and so we're going to have to take them all out. So the 200 other SA leaders en route to meeting Hitler at the hotel were arrested. The purge, or the Night of the Long Knives, had officially begun. Most of the executions occurred in Stadelheim prison. But 20 miles southeast of Berlin, another 150 SA members were brought out four at a time to be shot. When called, they were marched to a brick wall, had their shirts ripped off, a charcoal circle drawn around their left nipple as a target. The remaining men watched on from their cells, awaiting their turn. The death list covered an array of people, not just those in the SA, but also included journalists and priests. Among the murdered were Kurt von Schleicher, Gregor Strasser, who until 1932 had been second only to Hitler in the Nazi Party, Bavarian ex-separatist Gustav von Kahr, conservative critic Edgar Jung, and Catholic professor Eric Klausener, Vice Chancellor Franz von Papen, only narrowly escaped inclusion among the victims, though he was dismissed from the vice chancellorship 3 days later. The army's general Ferdinand von Bredow was murdered, along with a priest who had helped Hitler write Mein Kampf. So this is a lesson for those of you who are sympathizing, not opposing, those who are assisting, those who are aiding these elitists who are rising to power. They're establishing a global world government, and you're making excuses for them. You're making excuses why we shouldn't fight them and resist them. You are trying to bring the rest of us into compliance. You're assisting, aiding, abetting, or just sympathizing with them in hopes that you'll have a position one day as well. But you're not. There'll be a price to pay for that. And these people will use you to get to where they need to be. And there's nothing new under the sun. People are just as evil and vile as they were in 1934 Germany, if not worse. And so I want you to reconsider, those of you who are not taking a hard stand against this communist insurgency and insurrection and coup that's happening against our president and against our country right now, especially clergy who are echoing all of the talking points of the Marxist leftists about blowing our borders wide open and bringing in Islamic invaders. And the racial justice lies, the COVID lies, all of the rest of the lies. So you're playing a dangerous game. When you play with the bull, you're going to get the horns. So you've been warned. Anyway, we'll come back. Segment 4, Lady Liberty, right after this.
That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want to secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food, and security surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. at www.revrealty.us. You can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
Welcome back to the fourth and final segment of Radio Free Redoubt, episode 20-23, the 23rd podcast of 2020. And again, another podcast with all kinds of internet or the stream portal issue going on with Stream Monster. So I do have a trouble ticket in. I just want to let you guys know. I wanted to acknowledge, I understand. I've got several listeners who have no internet or limited bandwidth, and they can't listen to the live stream, so they call in and listen to the show on our call-in number, and then you know, a lot of live streaming listeners as well. And so I have a trouble ticket in. I'm going to put another one in for the call-in number, and it's been a week, and I haven't heard anything back. So I don't know if they've gone social justice warrior on us. The cancel culture on us because a right wing extremist views, and so somebody's playing games there at the with the servers at Stream Monster or what. But if they don't fix it, we're going to switch services, and that would be a shame because I'm kind of a loyal person by nature. So I've been with them for over nine years, and I have no intentions of leaving. But if they don't get this fixed, we won't have a choice. So, Lady Liberty, thank you for being with us here at segment four.
Well, thank you. I am glad to be here.
Yeah, it's been a great Independence Day weekend, has it not?
Oh my gosh, it's just been stellar.
I know. Besides the ridiculous internet or this Stream Monster thing on Sunday night. But
yes, unfortunately. You know,
leading up to this has just been wonderful.
Yep. One great thing after another.
Exactly. So we're doing this. We're still just going to just Charlie Mike. We're just going to continue the mission. We are going to just record the show, get it uploaded tomorrow morning, and pulling our hair out. And so we want to make sure that we can be out there to see the moon and the Jupiter and what's the other one?
Saturn.
Was it Saturn?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Yes, we're going to go check that out. So we got to hurry up and get this recorded so we can do that. Segment four is brought to you by Works Holsters. I want to thank those guys, Patriot-owned business, for continuing to support us. They make custom Kydex holsters and magazine carriers, and they make them right here in the American Redoubt. So they're made by Patriots in the land of Patriots, and they have a lifetime guarantee on all their products. So... great folks. Now, Independence Day, it was unique. I loved seeing the videos of the fireworks across the country, but especially it seemed to be more intense in the more locked down areas where the Democrat Marxist governors and mayors are in control. Did it look like that to you?
Well, it did, and what a relief to see that, too, because, you know, it's one thing to watch a free people stand up for themselves. It's another thing to watch free people just submit.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so seeing a whole bunch of fireworks when they've been banned during the celebration of, you know, this is our country's holiday, you know?
Yes,
the
it
fourth.
Is. Our
and,
birth.
And yeah. The thing that we're proud of. And so... You know, for all of these communist supporting governors and mayors to make these lockdown demands, especially with things related to 4th of July, is just really disheartening. But I thought it was just awesome to see more or less the rebellion about it. You know,
yeah.
Yay, go Americans.
Exactly. You know? it was just resistance against unlawfulness, really.
Yeah.
And personally, I think it's the mayors. I think it's the governors. Those are the ones who are being rebellious.
Oh, exactly.
They're rebelling against the rule of law.
Yes, they are.
And they're rebelling against their oaths.
Against their own nation.
They are, exactly. And so they're just saying, I'm a bully, I'm bigger, these are the new rules, and this is the way it's going to be.
And I'm following somebody else's authority is what that also says. You know what I mean? They're not just rebelling against the law. They've got a coordinated thing going on with the communists.
And they are the communists.
They are the communists. Yeah. I mean, they are the elected officials that are towing the line for communism.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you've talked about this in the past, where there is the Council of Governors,
right,
the National
of Mayors,
Council of Governors,
right.
Council of Mayors,
yep.
Council of Commissioners, like County Commissioners,
right.
And that's where these guys are getting these workshops about how you can implement this stuff.
Exactly. See, because that was I have that in my book about how the mayors across the United States are part of this Council of Mayors, and they were actually given seats, like in the ambassador seats at these UN massive UN conferences.
Make them feel special.
Well, because they are the ones that are at the UN, the ambassadors are telling them, you guys are the agents of change. You guys are the ones that are going to be bringing home sustainable development to your cities and your surrounding areas,
right.
And implementing that. And so that's what, you know, these councils, these regional councils, these councils of governors, those are basically, they're acting in the same way that the Soviets do. That's how they rule.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Really. Very true. So it was good. Saw some beautiful country.
Yep.
It was free. It was just really amazing. I'm God's country. It was just.
And all the cool places that we went yesterday on our motorcycles,
yeah.
Which was such a blast. All the cool places we ended up, people were not wearing masks.
I know. It was great. We put 210 miles on our bikes yesterday.
Yep.
And you're right. The people that were wearing masks looked silly. They looked totally out of place.
And they looked paranoid. They looked like, am I going to get in trouble in this group of people?
You know what else I noticed too? And talking to a guy at a store, he was talking about the same thing. He goes, it's so good to see you not wearing a mask.
That's right.
I've never seen the guy before, right? But we just started making small talk on the way in. He says, it's good to see you not wearing a mask. I'm like, well, you too. So we got talking about that, and there was a guy and his son, who an adult son, who was, they were both walked in wearing masks, and they were the only two wearing masks, and the store was pretty full. So by the time they come out, their masks were around their necks, and they even commented how out of place they felt, how strange it felt, and how actually, you know, they're actually arguing against it. You know, all these studies are showing these masks are actually it's counterproductive. It's actually counterproductive for your health. You know,
and here is a really interesting thing that you and I both saw just this morning for breakfast at the restaurant that we went to eat at. The wait staff, of course, are required to wear masks. The funniest part was they were see-through. I mean,
yeah,
you know, they had material on that was see-through and not even, you know, I mean, it was more like this hanging piece of see-through cloth, you know, and
it is. Yeah.
So I just thought
that
was
funny. It's like Darth Helmet. I can't breathe in this thing.
Exactly. And I don't blame them. I mean, that it's so preposterous anyway.
Yeah, it is. But the very fact that they're wearing something at all, it's not about protection. From a health perspective,
right.
It is a symbol of submission to
totally.
A new normal,
yep.
To a new system.
Right.
And that's the part that just drives me nuts.
Yep.
Now, they're trying to skirt around it and everything. That's not what we were going to talk about, but I mean, it's still a good conversation, right? So anyway, it was just beautiful. The fireworks display was just amazing. Private fireworks was just it
yes.
was so impressive.
Yeah, all the people, the city didn't sponsor anything, and all the private people just showed up with huge packages of really great fireworks.
Yep. And lots of just people celebrating freedom all over the place.
Not a single mask out there either.
Yeah. Very, very, very few. And the ones that did have them just looked. You know what's what the other thing that I was starting to say, this guy that I started talking to as we were going into the store, good to see you're not wearing a mask. We both of us had noticed how the people who are wearing masks look and act sick. You know what I mean? They like their shoulders are slumped. They look sickly. They look like deflated. Their shoulders are sunking. They shuffle around. And the people that are not wearing masks are walking around tall. I mean, and confident,
tall and proud, and confident because they're not sick
and healthy. No, healthy. Yep. That's the word. Not right. Tall. Not confident. Not. They just look healthy.
Well,
and the people with masks look sickly.
Right. Well, and you know, so if they're sick, thank goodness they're wearing a mask.
They should stay home if they're sick.
Exactly.
Send somebody to the store for them. But anyway, okay, so we got. See, once we realized that Stream Portal is down and that we're not on a time crunch, hey, we can go as long as we want. But what is it that you wanted to key in on first?
Well, I think in particular, Trump's speech was absolutely remarkable. Mm-hmm. I can't describe how proud I am of that president because, oh my gosh, how many years has it been since we haven't had to listen to a globalist mouthpiece?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And not even just that, but he speaks the truth.
You know,
I'm so sick of being lied to.
I know.
That hearing the president speak the truth is just absolutely wonderful to me.
I was very excited today when I was downloading this week's Wall Builders podcasts so I could air one. If our stream portal would have been working, I was going to be streaming, just like we do every week, a Wall Builders podcast that I select from that week. And I saw one this week. I have been saying, haven't I been saying it, that Trump is like our modern day Winston Churchill?
Yep.
Well, Wall Builders did one comparing Winston Churchill and President Trump on one of their shows this week, and I was so excited about that. So yeah. I have that. If you're listening, and you know, I want to encourage you to go to wallbuilders.com or wallbuilderslive.com, go into their archives for this last week, July 1st. Or second or July, it was Tuesday, so it would have been June 30th, and that was the Winston Churchill and President Trump. And those, I haven't listened to it yet. I'm excited to, but I was happy to see somebody else keying in on that as well.
Right.
So,
right.
So they did. But let me play a couple of excerpts from you from President Trump's speech, a couple things that I really keyed in. I want to get your thoughts.
Okay.
We stand tall, we stand proud, and we only kneel to Almighty God.
All right. So how refreshing was that to hear with this culture that we're living in from the media, from sports, athletes, all of these people saying we need to, seeing them kneel, even police officers and some of these National Guardsmen, to hear him say that the only people we kneel for is God.
That is right. Oh my gosh, that was so awesome to hear that. And you know, like I was saying, the fact that is coming from our president is just astounding and such a huge relief to me.
That's what I was saying. Who else would be saying these words?
I know.
What other president? What other person, if they were president, besides, you know, I mean, I could think of some individuals.
We can't even hardly get the local sheriff to say that kind of thing, let alone the president.
Right.
And that is the highest office in the land. And so, like I said, I couldn't be more proud of him.
Yeah, same here. Okay, I've got another one too, and I'll play that. And then I've got a third one after that that's going to probably kind of go into some things that you and I were discussing.
For the sake of our honor, for the sake of our children, for the sake of our union, we must protect and preserve our history, our heritage, and our great heroes. Here tonight, before the eyes of our forefathers, Americans declare again, as we did 244 years ago, that we will not be tyrannized, we will not be demeaned, and we will not be intimidated by bad, evil people. It will not happen.
All right, there's a message that I know that you can relate to. Standing up boldly, not being intimidated, not backing down to some evil, wicked people that want us to abandon our heritage and our who we are.
Right, right.
And take it over.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and that's always kind of been my stance, has been like, my dad was a history teacher, and so I'm fully aware of the battles that Americans have fought to have the rights that we have today, and how many lives have been lost and sacrificed for these rights that we have. Everything that we have has come at the expense of either somebody's life, their blood, their you know, all of their everything that they've done in their whole life, they've given up to have these things for us, for this generation. And so when I see somebody coming in like a communist who is a foreigner, to me, that is an invader, because that is not an American. That is not an American mindset at all. And so I've never, ever been afraid of those people. I give them the what for. I'm like, who are you? And why do you think that kind of thinking has any place in our society? That is not American at all.
And you have done that in fighting for the property rights, when you're heavily involved in that and leading that effort.
Right. I don't recognize anybody that is part of a communist system as any sort of authority, and especially, I mean, not in America. I mean, that it's illegal, right. First of all. Communism is illegal, according to Article 4, Section 4, that guarantees a Republican form of government to every U.S. citizen. So I've never felt intimidated by them, and I've never felt like I had to give them way or right. And I feel like they need to answer to us, the Americans, and we need to make sure that they understand their place is not here.
That's right. Don't belong.
That's right.
All right. Now, you talk about the sacrifices that people have made, and that really led into a pretty deep discussion that you and I got into about that. So let's play this last clip. And this is just to give you a little backstory. If you guys have not listened to President Trump's Mount Rushmore speech from the 3rd of July, every American patriot needs to watch this. He gave a great history lesson about the four men that are on Mount Rushmore. And he started with George Washington. And so I want to play the portion where he was talking about a segment of it where he was talking about George Washington, particularly the sacrifices that were made and the character, his character, but the sacrifices that were made by the men who laid it all on the line for us to have this. And it takes me back to John Adams's quote, saying, "Posterity, you'll never know how much it costs this generation to secure your freedom."
Right.
And so, you know, I hope that you make good use of it. I'm not looking at the. I might have gotten that off a little bit, but really, this is an example of some of the sacrifices that were made
through 8 long years, through the brutal winter at Valley Forge. Through setback after setback on the field of battle, he led those patriots to ultimate triumph. When the army had dwindled to a few thousand men at Christmas of 1776, when defeat seemed absolutely certain, he took what remained of his forces on a daring nighttime crossing of the Delaware River. They marched through 9 miles of frigid darkness, many without boots on their feet, leaving a trail of blood in the snow.
In the morning, they seized victory at Trenton. After forcing the surrender of the most powerful empire on the planet, at Yorktown, General Washington did not claim power, but simply returned to Mount Vernon as a private citizen. When called upon again, he presided over the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia and was unanimously elected our first president. When he stepped down after two terms, his former adversary, King George, called him the greatest man of the age. He remains first in our hearts to this day. For as long as Americans love this land, we will honor and cherish the father of our country, George Washington.
So that was pretty powerful, just talking about George Washington alone, and he went through the other three. That was pretty emotional. I know that you and I were talking about that. So
right.
Why don't you share some of your thoughts there on that?
Well, every time I hear that story about the trail of blood, because these men were marching through the snow and didn't have boots. Oh, it chokes me up every time, because I don't know if all the listeners are in areas where it snows in the winter or not, but I know that at my house, when I've had to quickly run out the door in the middle of the winter at night because I've got a horse, you know, something going on with the horse, I'll be standing out there for maybe at the most 30 seconds to a minute in the snow barefoot, trying to see with the flashlight.
Yeah.
And I always sit there and think, oh my gosh, you literally can't feel your feet, and they start to hurt so bad within just 1 minute that you go running back in and your feet hurt so bad. It takes like 5 to 10 minutes before you can even walk on them again. You know, it's that kind of major pain. And so when I hear about men marching through the snow with no boots on and their feet bleeding, that gets me, because that was the kind of sacrifice and the will that they had to succeed, where the reward was freedom.
Yes.
Was independence. And that means so much that, you know, if I'm standing out there for 30 seconds and I can't feel my feet, and I'm going to walk 9 miles through snow like that and past the point where I can't feel them, but beyond that, where they're frostbitten and bleeding, and who even knows if they will ever recover after that point, right?
Yeah.
That, to me, just kind of brings it home, because that's my only way that I could relate to that story, is just knowing the excruciating pain just from such a short time, let alone 9 miles. And this is the kind of spirit that drove this nation, that developed this nation, that brought us the freedom that we have today, that these people are exploiting. And not only are they saying that what we have is bad, while they are enjoying all the fruits of the freedom,
right?
They're trying to claim that none of our history, of all of our brave men and our veterans that died on the battlefield for us to have this stuff, they're trying to say that none of that stuff even existed, and that we've been nothing but a scourge and you know, this horrible thing all over the world. And so those kind of lies just absolutely infuriate me, because the cost of freedom is enormous.
That is just one story that got told.
Right. Small story.
That's one little sentence,
yep,
that got told. There are so many of those types of sacrifices. And when John Adams said, you have no idea the right sacrifices. Yesterday, on yesterday's show, I read the story of the consequences that the men faced, the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, who lost their families, their homes were burnt to the ground.
Yep.
They were on the run. They ran for, you know, these men were businessmen. They were influential men. They had a lot to
right.
lose.
Their children were killed. Their husbands or wives were killed. And,
exactly.
Yep.
And imprisoned and died in prison, you know, your spouse, that yep. type of thing. And so now you have men walking on bloody frozen feet to go and into battle
and fight a battle
and probably yeah. die.
Right.
And I was at Yorktown 3 years ago. It was my first time there. It was so moving to me. I was actually at Yorktown and I was on the same ground that George Washington rode.
Wow.
And the same place where the remnants of the Continental Army accepted the surrender of the British military. And I went to the Revolutionary War Museum. It's so amazing. They're so rich. And the more I learn about it, the more I learn about the sacrifices that were made, the more infuriated that I get when I see the lies yep. about the godly men who fought and secured this country for us. And I know it's not about... They're not trying, it really has nothing to do with George Washington, except for the fact that they have to tear down the end goal is to move America out of the way. The United
right.
States
right.
and the principles of the United States are in the way of establishing a globalist system.
Well, and that is exactly what they're in the midst of right now. That's what you call war.
Yeah.
Those are all the things that happen in war. Anytime you have an invading army that goes into another nation to conquer it, those are the things they do.
Those are the machinations of war.
Yep.
So what scares me is when I read about the caliber of men, the character, and the fortitude, is that we don't have that today.
Well, you know, I think it's out there. It's just everybody is waiting for the moment. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Where it's nobody wants to just jump into a battle willy-nilly for just the smallest reason. They all have the same heart that if it's going to be a battle, it's because we've exhausted all the other rational ways of dealing with stuff.
Right.
Which is all fine. But we can't also let the nation disappear while we're deciding that. Because
right.
we were talking about before how the United Nations has treated the whole world in the boil the frog slowly method, you know, where, you know, they've all gotten used to this stuff incrementally and little bits at a time to where, you know, everybody's been boiled like frogs and now they've gotten away with nearly the takeover of our nation. And yet they haven't quite boiled the frog with the Patriots. And so this starting of this whole Chinese virus has been the beginning of the boil the frog on the Patriots, because now
right.
the Patriots are incrementally accepting little bits of their progress, which is frightening to me, because it's one thing for the oblivious urbanites to, you know, to be boiled, do the frog boiling, right? It's one thing for that to happen. It's another thing for the diehard veterans, solid American patriots to have that start to happen to them too, where they start to go, well, yeah, so Antifa was just there in that town and they were, you know, they took over in Seattle and, but, you know, we didn't really do anything about it. And so we'll wait to see if they do something else worse before we decide if we're going to do something about it. And then I don't want to see the Patriots in the boil the frog scenario.
Right. Right.
And so that's kind of worrisome to me.
Yeah.
But I do think that if, you know, with what the president said, was just so inspiring that we're not going to let this happen. We are Americans. We are the product of bravery and courage and God's law and God's rule. basically. Right. You know, we are the benefactors of that. And on top of that, we're God's children, and we're not going to let him be removed from this nation. And so that's a huge part of why, with the political church, my podcast, that I'm calling the church right now, because I don't want the patriots and the Christians to have the boil the frog syndrome happen to them.
Exactly.
Because we're so close to losing this nation. I mean, so close, like within this year, within this election. If they don't start to understand that war is happening, it just hasn't been put on the newspaper front headline yet.
Right.
It hasn't
and it
said,
won't be.
Exactly. Because then they're not going to get the resistance that would actually get rid of it. I'm telling people, you know what? Church, it is time to the battle call is being made.
Yes.
You all need to get up, stand up, walk your faith, and I swear if you do nothing but get yourselves out there and vote, we are the single biggest demographic in the whole United States. We're 78% to 82%, and if we will just do that one simple thing of getting you and every member of your church to register to vote, we can vote these communists and this evil demonic takeover. We can just vote it out. And seriously, then if we need to back it up with military action after that, I sure hope we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, of course, you know, this is spiritual warfare. We should be, you know, primarily fighting on our knees. But we also have to be moved to action.
Right.
It's just like, you know, when the cold, hungry person comes to your door and you say, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Be well, brother,
right.
You know, and don't give him food or don't give him a blanket. Right. And it's like the scripture says, I'm totally paraphrasing that because I just pulled that from the top of my head, but I can't recall it. But when somebody comes to you and they're hungry and you say, well, then go and be well and don't feed them.
That's not a good Samaritan.
Right. So to say, well, I'm just going to pray for my country, but I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to talk to other people. Yeah. And so we're allowing in conservative red counties, red states, conservative areas where it is primarily conservative Christian demographics. How is it that leftist Marxist mayors and city council members are getting in, establishing the sexual perversion policies and things, you know, mandating what curriculum is going into our schools and stuff? Because the people that are engaged are praying, but they're not moving to action.
Right. We have to be God's hands and feet.
Right.
We are called to be his salt and light. And that means we are out there active. We are the active part of God, where we are carrying his word. We are out there defending his laws being what makes this country prosperous, which gives us freedom. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Well, not if we don't make sure it happens.
Right.
You know, if we sit there and allow somebody whose bottom line is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism, those are your two wealth builders and strength builders right there, God and capitalism, right?
Yep.
And so if you've got somebody who is running for office and they're supporting that, that's anti-God. That is anti everything that we are about. And
right.
So that means you're allowing somebody to trample on God.
Somebody who, when their policies are implemented, will be stealing from your brother.
Right.
And that's not loving your neighbor.
Right.
When you're allowing someone to, when you are empowering someone to steal from you and your brother.
Right.
And your neighbors, and covet what they want, take their property, take their wealth.
Yep.
Destroy their property,
their
destroy their family, destroy their children and their souls.
Yep.
Everything. That's the opposite of loving your neighbor and loving your brother.
Exactly.
By just disengaging. Can you imagine how well the gospel would have been spread in the New Testament by the disciples if they would have just stayed in that little room and just prayed? Well, let's just pray that the church will grow.
Right. Right.
They had to get out there on the trail, and on walk. The road. They had to walk. They had to go from town to town. They had to build up. They had to network.
Yep. They had to use their voice. They had to organize. They had to.
They collected money. They raised funds. They took care of the widows and the orphans.
They took a beating. They took a beating
to keep
God in front of people and to get God in front of people.
Exactly.
And so we've
took action.
That's our nation is one nation under God. And this other invading force of communists is telling us, you're not going to have God. You're not going to have wealth or prosperity.
Right.
You're going to have nothing but chaos and utter destruction. And we're bringing it. And we're going.
And what are you going to do about it?
And what are you going to do about it? So Christians, put on the armor of God and get busy.
Yep. Absolutely.
Get out there.
Yep. And don't give up an inch.
That's right.
All right. Well, we went long. We're out of time. We've got some stuff we're going to talk about with North Korea. You've got your show, The Political Church. Great message there. But there's some stuff that we started getting into. The United Nations now giving North Korea money to help fight climate change.
Right. Yes.
I'm sure that's not going toward
nuclear development.
Prostitutes and cocaine and nuclear weapons and who knows what else.
Right. Poor old destitute Korea needing money for nukes.
Yeah.
And so they're just going to fund them because, like we described, how the UN uses people and groups as weapons, right?
Right.
Who better to supply with a whole bunch of money to target the USA than Korea, North Korea, right?
Right, and the United States has been funding, what, up to a quarter of the United Nations budget?
Yes, we have been paying the United Nations, 22% of the United Nations annual budget comes from the United States of America, for crying out loud. And now they're going to turn around and give that money that we gave to them to our enemies to develop stuff to target us with.
We need to get the UN. We need to just get rid of you need to annihilate the UN.
The UN building is an abomination. Yep. That thing should not be
on
anywhere
soil.
On American soil, let alone rent-free.
Right.
Rent-free. We figured out, we did the research quite a while back.
Last year,
about how much we could be making off that UN building at the going rate of, footage per square foot if we were to rent it out.
You ran that to ground. So it was like the square footage of the UN building plus in Manhattan, how much that office space rents for.
Yeah, just on an
average.
How
much money we could be making charge rent.
Ends up being like we're giving away half a billion a year by not charging them rent.
Right.
And letting them be there.
In the most prestigious Manhattan of all.
They need the boot. They need the boot. We'll rent out that space, gain a half a billion, as well as cut our funding to the UN so that we're not supplying our enemies with money to fight us.
Yeah.
That is just nuts.
Half a billion dollars. You could use that to just buy Americans a new AR-15 every year or something.
Okay, just give just for fun, give everybody a Christmas bonus.
There you go. All right. Well, good job. Good discussion about this stuff. It is very encouraging with President Trump, and it's encouraging to know that there are patriots of that caliber that are standing ready. I do know that.
Yep, I agree. And they just need to know that now's the time. And if there's nothing else they can do other than tell their church members to get registered to vote and then vote Republican and vote out all the communists. If they do nothing but that, we'll be all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'd be a good start.
It'd be a good start.
Okay. Folks, thank you. That's a wrap. You guys have a blessed rest of the week. We'll be in touch. We'll be talking to you next Saturday on KTW at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And that's also live streamed, and that's also uploaded to our Podbean player at radiofreeredoubt.podbean.com. John Jacob at radiofreeredoubt.com is how you can reach me by email. And until we meet again next week, you guys have a really blessed week. Be safe and be vigilant and keep your powder dry. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name too. Good night.